My scripture reading this morning will be from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 9, beginning with verse 23. Remind us as we begin this reading that in verse 22, Jesus has informed the disciples that he will not too long future suffer many things, be rejected, be slain, be crucified, and rise again the third day. With that introduction, verse 23 and reading down to verse 27. And he said to them all, If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it. But whosoever will lose his life for my sake, the same shall save it. For what is a man advantaged if he gain the whole world and lose himself or be cast away? For whosoever shall be ashamed of me and of my words, of him shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he shall come in his own glory and in his Father's and of the holy angels. But I tell you of a truth, there be some standing here which shall not taste of death till they see the kingdom of God. Jesus has outlined rather graphically in this reading two sides of our discipleship. A good side that requires self-denial and cross-bearing. Neither of those to our carnal appetite are very appealing. In fact, they're rather the opposite. And then on the other side, seeing him in his glory. I was rather taken aback when I checked a number of commentaries on this lesson, and with one rare exception, they all ignored Jesus' timestamp to the whole lesson. There are some of you that hear my voice today who will not die till you see the kingdom of God. See me coming in my glory. I grant that the closing of verse 26, if ignoring the context, would perhaps read like second coming. But with Jesus' time stamp and the topic of discipleship, it takes on a different flavor and a different meaning. So we have our work cut out. Whosoever will come after me, if any man will come after me. Several times in the reading, Jesus uses the term will. In each case, the word is translated from a word which Lao and Nita defined as to desire to have or to experience something. You see Jesus, you see him in the gospel, you see him in the scriptures, you see him exemplified in the lives of godly people, and you desire to look like and to walk like him. That's what Jesus is talking about. Well, I'm a follower of Jesus. And we live in a time today when Christianity has been so cheapened in the public square that a person can be a scoundrel and say, I'm a Christian, and everybody says, well, but he's a Christian or she's a Christian. Now, being a Christian means coming after Jesus in what you do and how you live. Come after me. That means we follow him, not say we're a Christian and go our own choices and our own paths. He leads, we follow. I'll finish with word studies with this word, come after me. Too many times we get the impression that Christianity should be living the perfect Christian life. This word means to move toward. If you're 15 years old and you feel the conviction and begin to work at living the Christian life, you begin moving toward Jesus. I'm a few years past 50. But you know what? If I look at myself today, I'm still trying to move toward Jesus, to get closer to him than I was yesterday, last month, last year, or when I was 15. It's a constant process of moving in the direction to get closer to him. There's an old Christian hymn that says, "Just a closer walk with thee." That's the sentiment we're talking about. The first thing Jesus says is we must deny self. The idea of denying self, the word, same word, is used in Luke 22:57 when someone confronted Peter after Jesus' arrest and said, "You're one of his followers." And what did Peter say? "I know him not." How much effort does it take for you and me as we pursue living closer to Jesus to say of Joe, "I know him not, I want to follow Jesus"? It's not easy. It's not natural, is it? We want to see self in the middle of everything, but following Jesus means seeing self in the middle of nothing. But the greatest challenge in all of it, take up his cross. The Romans commonly practiced crucifixion against people convicted of serious criminal offenses. When Jesus was a youngster, a man who lived in the area of Nazareth led a very popular revolt against the Romans. The Romans fiercely stamped it out. What people they didn't kill in battle, they arrested 2,000 of the rebels and they crucified all 2,000 of them with crosses lined up along common streets or highways within less than 10 miles of Nazareth. Jesus knew by experience from the beginning all about crucifixion. He didn't have to go to the cross to know what it meant. He knew it quite well. Taking up our cross as a believer in Jesus doesn't mean that we are automatically doomed to the tortures of being crucified physically. But there's a rather disturbing thought that comes to mind. The process of forgetting self, the process of self-denial, true self-denial, to our humanity is as tortuous to our humanity as physical crucifixion would be to the body. We don't want to do it. We want to avoid it. But Jesus says, "You want to follow me? This is the path." Only in Luke do we have the word added daily. I know in a lot of Christian traditions, taking up your cross to follow Jesus is used to describe a person's initial act of discipleship. Not so with Jesus. It's something that you have to confront every day you live. What I crucify today will wake me up tomorrow morning, pounding on my head to take control of my life, and I have to crucify it all over again and again and again as long as I live. It's not limited to one particular Christian denomination or persuasion, but there's a little tiny booklet that's very popular in a lot of modern churches today called The Prayer of Jabez. Jabez is a fellow in the Old Testament. He just appears in one verse. He he said, would that God would bless me and grant my prayer. And what this pamphlet is written to do is to plant the idea of name it, claim it. All you have to do is pray for it and believe it, and God will give it to you. When I was working in the insurance business, a man represented his own company, as a matter of fact, called on me. He had services that I could use and would profit from. And he professed himself to be a Christian. When we went out to business lunches, he wanted to be sure to say a prayer of thanksgiving and blessing before the food. And I didn't object to that, whatever. He gave me a copy of that little booklet. I lived long enough and had enough interaction with this fellow to realize that his interpretation of the prayer of Jabez meant, I'm entitled to do whatever I need, however questionable the ethics, to get what I want, because I prayed God to have it and God's going to give it to me. He didn't represent his Christianity well at all in the trenches. Denying self is not thought about in that mindset. It's not, in fact, it's contradicted in that mindset. If we follow Jesus' instructions in this lesson, our minds will be transformed from saying, what's in it for me, to how can I serve you? What can I do to help you in your life? Then let's look for a moment. Whosoever shall save his life shall lose it, will save his life. Same word, desire to experience. But whosoever will, same word, lose his life for my sake, the same shall save it. For what is a man advantaged if he gain the whole world? I love Luke's rendition, lose himself or be cast away. In the Christian life, the more we focus on self, the more we lose our true self. Amen. And the more we willingly choose to lose, to deny self, I don't know him, the more we find our true self and the blessings. It's here and now, folks. Jesus' timestamp requires that it be here and now. For whosoever shall be ashamed of me and of my words, of him shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he shall come in his own glory and in his Father's and of the holy angels. If this is eternal damnation, was Peter ashamed of Jesus when he denied him? Does that mean Peter went to hell? But let me tell you something, without doubt, in that moment, pardon me, in that moment, Peter was ashamed and Jesus denied him. When Jesus looked across the courtyard and Peter and Jesus locked in eye contact, Peter went out and wept bitterly. Jesus being ashamed of Peter caused Peter to be ashamed of Peter. I have Tyler to thank for a reminder of these two verses, and they fit perfectly. Thank you, sir. Thank you so much. The book of Daniel, seven, verses 13 and 14. I saw in the night visions, and behold, one like the Son of Man came with the clouds of heaven and came to the Ancient of Days, and they brought him near before him. This verse describes Jesus ascending back to the Father, and he was received and welcomed. And there was given him dominion and glory and a kingdom that all people, nations, and languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion which shall not pass away, and his kingdom that which shall not be destroyed. That's what happened beginning on the day of Pentecost, 10 days after Jesus ascended. And The prophecy says it'll never end. In 2 Corinthians 3, verse 18, Paul describes the believers in Christ as looking into a mirror. What do you see when you look in a mirror? See an image of yourself. But this is the gospel mirror. You may see an image of yourself, but the longer you look into the gospel mirror, the more clearly you see another image, the image of Jesus. And Paul says, the more when we look into this mirror, we are changed into that image. What's the next expression he uses? From glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. He came in glory. We can experience that glory when we, by faith, deny self and take up our cross